19, which is the last chapter we're doing of the next devotion. So Srila Prabhupada begins by quoting Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of Premabhakti. So at this point we've discussed Sadhana Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and now Premabhakti. Bhakti. So this is the fourth way in the eastern side of the ocean. So Srila Prabhupada says, when one's desire to love Krishna in one's particular relationship becomes intensified, this is known as pure love of Godhead. And then he gives a little description of how this pure love of Godhead becomes gradually intensified by following the described method in the course of time. There is also a little description there, of course, that for the reader just to understand that what goes in the name of love in the material world is nothing but lust. So Srila Prabhupada describes there's a vast difference between what we're discussing in this ancient literature as the love of God, making it very clear that it is nothing to do with what we know of love in the material world, which is generally lust. In fact, Prabhupada says the word love can only be applied only in relationship with the personality of God. In the material world, love is not applicable at all. That's a very, very firm statement. Further down, we see that Srila Prabhupada again elaborating on what is love of God, describes that when the concept of kinship is completely reposed in him, such is accepted as pure love of God. So although it's not obviously stated here, but from reading the previous two chapters on Bhava Bhakti, it should be understood that prema, or pure love of God, is actually an intensified state of Bhava Bhakti, and that's actually the primary characteristic of pure love of God. The secondary characteristics are that the concept of kinship is completely reposed in Krishna, in one person, and that the heart becomes completely soft. So, as in the case of Bhava Bhakti, we heard that Bhava Bhakti has the characteristic of making the heart soft, so this is also one of the secondary characteristics of pure love of God, prema, but in a more, it is completely soft. So Bhava Bhakti makes the heart soft, but prema Bhakti completely softens the heart. And one's sense of kinship is completely opposed to Krishna. So there's two secondary characteristics, and the primary characteristic, of course, is that prema is an intensified state of bhava. It's a perceptual state. So we see here that this sense of kinship is completely reposed in Krishna. That's one of the secondary characteristics. Within that, there's a distinction between ordinary devotional service, where the principle is called tadya, or that I am Krishna's. But at the point of prema bhakti, there's more moved that Krishna is mine. He's my lover, my friend, my son, my son. It's that sense of possessiveness. No. Krishna gives that assurance in the Bhagavad Gita that once returning to my spiritual abode, I'm never again returning to the material world.
You know, left the kingdom, his queen, his children, and you know, he will be the whole entire of the material world. He will be like even the forest of baby flower deer, mother deer dying, and he actually developed affection for the baby deer.
Yes.
What would that be considered falling down? Because he completely forgot all the rules and all his devotion and
did he say that he was a perfect bhakti?
I'm not sure.
But we had the example of Bill Munger before that even on the platform of Dala Bhakti, it's possible for them. My understanding is that the Dala Bhakti is on that. But because, see, on the platform of there are four artists. There's impurities that result from impious or sinful activity. There's impurities that result from pious activities. There is impurities that arise from improperly performed bhakti. And there is impurities that arise from offences up around. At the stage of Ashakti, the others arising from pious activities or pious activity to absolute destruction. Destruction of an artist takes place in different stages. There is partial, there is complete, and there is absolute. I think there are some stages in between as well. So the Shakti, those two and after, is completely destroyed. At Bhava Bhakti, the Nath is from improperly performed devotional service, if they're destroyed, absolutely. But only Prema Bhakti, the Nath is from all cases even of Aparas, being destroyed in that sense. All traces of contamination are completely destroyed. So that's why one doesn't fall down. But it's still possible to fall down from the platform of the Baba. Well, not as common, but it is possible because there are still some analysis from Ambara. So, you know, in Bhava Bhakti, very elevated stage of devotional service, one can actually perceive the Lord certainly one feels the presence of the Lord at all stages. And sometimes, you know, there is the Lord actually will occasionally appear before the devotee, or will appear before the devotee to certain degrees. So, in other words, sometimes the Bhava Bhakta may sometimes in his meditation or, you know, the offering incense to the Lord, and he may offer some flowers at the lotus feet of the Lord, and then you know, the Lord may actually allow the aroma from his lotus feet to actually allow the Bhava Bhakta to smell, you know, perceive the aroma from the lotus feet of the Lord. Or to, you know, sometimes, you know, so different senses may directly perceive the presence of the Lord. Gradually one perceives with all of one's senses. But it is a very, the Lord reveals his presence through the various senses, slowly, progressively, bit by bit, not generally all of a sudden. The material body is just not capable of handling the presence of the Lord. One has to be spiritualized in order to actually be able to facilitate such a force being enacted upon one's senses. Sometimes people are hallucinating or presenting something which appears. In some cases, it can be what we call shadow attachment, which we discussed last week. Sometimes the ecstatic symptoms manifested by Krishna and carriers, it rubs off on those who are qualified to have those same symptoms, but that may display a shadow sort of symptoms, which are not the real thing, but can, you know, manifest. So, therefore, we discussed last week that some of the symptoms of Bhava Bhakti or Prema Bhakti can either be imitated by those who don't have them, or concealed by those who do have them. But therefore, Rupa Goswami described 9 different symptoms which can neither be imitated or concealed, such as, you know, the devotee's constant utilization, you know, of every second in the service of Krishna, total disinterest, you know, to anyone else, you know, apart from Krishna. If the young devotee apparently doesn't, you know, fit the profile of the advanced Bhava Bhakti, sometimes manifest characteristics that you would see in an elevated devotee. If we examine them for a period of time and see that those nine particular traits are there, then we can count their, you know, these experiences as something substantial. If those things are not there, as Rupa Goswami describes, that they can neither be concealed nor imitated, then we may count those as a shadow attachment or shadow bhava. So there's checks and balances at every step. Yeah, so the Bhava Bhakti, they do, they can, you know, they have visions of the Lord. Not all the time, maybe very frequent, or they may not necessarily perceive the Lord, but then one of their senses may perceive the presence of the Lord in a particular way. Whereas the Prema Bhakti, they actually realise their, you know, eternal relationship with Krishna in particular. Feature, and they actually enter into the pastimes of the Lord, even though they're also externally performing services in this world, they're also performing services within the pastimes of the Lord. They both perceive the presence of the Lord, but the Prima Bhakti is participating in the Lord's eternal pastimes. So some of those things are not completely obvious here. They're within the descriptions, as you can see through further studies of the mental devotion. It becomes more clear that those things are here, but not overly stated. So we'll point them out. Prabhupada described down the bottom here that there are two conditions. This pure light can be transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead under two conditions: out of ecstasy and out of the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. When we say out of ecstasy, that means by the maturation of Bhava Bhakti. And the other is by the extraordinary causeless mercy of the Lord. Now that Bhava Bhakti, then you see, you know, then there's the title ecstasy. So Rupa Goswami then begins to give quotes in the first instance how Prema Bhakti results from Bhava Bhakti. So under the title of ecstasy there are various quotes, and that can be subdivided into two divisions. That is Bhava Bhakti, which has arisen from Vaidhisattva Bhakti, and Bhava Bhakti which has arisen from Vaidhisattva Bhakti. The first quote there is describing an example of how Bhava Bhakti has arisen from Vaidhisattva Bhakti and matured into pure love of God. That's from the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 40. And then there's another quote there describing Chandrakanti, that's from the Padma Purana. So So in the first verse you see, from the 11th canto, that constant practice of the regular principles of devotional service matured into bhava and prema. In the second one, we see that Tony Kanti is striving to achieve the mood of the Radhatmika Bhaktis of Braja, and specifically the Gopis, of course, in their conjugal mood, and by his practice he achieved Bhava, which she decided to accept Krishna alone as her husband. And we should also understand, of course, that as described previous. Attraction, the Rakti one, that one. Yes, the Rakti, that's also a symptom of Baba, is this complete detachment from anyone else, and anything else. It's just this. Just fully absorbed in Krishna. So that's her mood there. So you can see that mood of love attachment there. So I'll give a good example that, for instance, if someone was to imitate this sort of behavior, yes, I want to be Krishna's, I want Krishna to be my husband. And, I think there's some women saints, Mira, who had that sort of mood that she wanted the Lord as her, except the Lord as her husband. People may imitate that, but as soon as they show some attraction for anyone else, immediately you understand that they're an imposter. So you can, these symptoms are there, but being qualified by those previous 9 symptoms, you can tell what is the real thing, what is not. So anyone can imitate that. Oh yes, I want to marry Krishna. I want him to be my husband. Oh, very elevated. Huh? But as soon as there's some attraction to anything else or anyone else, then you need to understand that. So, as that Bhava Bhakti matured, of course she constantly engaged in meditating on Krishna's form, and you can see also that there's this move that she's accepting Krishna as her lover, that my lover. That move comes out of Prema Bhakti. Firmly decided that only Lord Krishna would be her husband. Then we go into the second method by which prema develops, and that is by the Lord's extraordinary mercy. We see examples of that, of course, in the 11th canto, 12th chapter, verse number 7. Krishna says, sorry. The gopis in Vrindavan did not study the Vedas to achieve me, nor had they ever been in holy places of pilgrimage. Nor did they devoutly execute any regulative principles. Nor did they undergo any kind of austerity. It is simply by my association that they have attained the highest perfection of devotional service.
That sounds like it is a pretty nice. Been two chapters before they were talking about the stages in the forest, the Dandakarani forest full of ground.
Yes.
And then were given an opportunity of
That's the fact that devotees devotees can mature to an elevated stage of devotional service, and yet, you know, prema bhakti, you know, may not necessarily manifest here. You know, the Krishna may assist at bhava bhakti or elevated stage of devotional service to mature his prema bhakti by allowing him to take birth and by his direct association. There's another point for that which we'll come back to a little bit later as well. Prabhupada refers again to Chandrakanti. And he says that a devotee always thinks of Krishna, always chants his glories in ecstatic love, regardless of his condition, will attain the highest perfection of unalloyed devotional love due to the Lord's extraordinary mercy. And then he gives confirmation of that from Srimad Bhagavatam, that if a person worships, adores and loves Hari, the Supreme Lord, he should be understood to have finished all kinds of austerities, penances and similar processes of self-realization. If someone always sees Krishna inside and out, then he should be understood that he has surpassed all austerities and penances for self-realization. And if after executing all kinds of penances and austerities, one cannot always see Krishna inside and out, then he has executed his performance of uses. There, the interesting thing there, of course, is that Prabhupada is pointing out that when a devotee always tries to think of Krishna, always tries to chant Krishna, Krishna's name, serve Krishna in unalloyed love, he attains the highest perfection out of the Lord's extraordinary mercy. Srila Prabhupada would often say that devotional service is not a mechanical process. In other words, although there's a direct step-by-step method and procedure, rules and regulations, things that should be done, even if one accepts all of those different things, one still has to understand that it is directly dependent upon the Lord's mercy that he still grants the perfection of one's activities. Of course, the Lord is very merciful and generally able to pay, but one should understand also that does depend upon the Lord's mercy, and it is not just one's own particular endeavors as a devotee which automatically produce prema bhakti. Only Krishna can actually give prema bhakti. That's an important thing to understand. Prema bhakti is Krishna's own, it is a manifestation of Krishna's own spiritual potency. He showers one the mercy of allowing that spirit soul to be bathed in his own spiritual energy, which enlivens their prana bhakti. But therefore, it's completely dependent upon Krishna's mercy. You can't go through anyone else. There is no other process. One has to receive prana bhakti from Krishna. There is no second place that you can get it. And because it has to be received from Krishna, it has to be understood that it is, he decides, even if one has done everything correct as a devotee, Krishna doesn't give it. You can't get it. Even if we've done everything, still Krishna decides, I'm not giving it. Nothing you do, you still won't get it. So it's a very important consideration there. So generally, because Krishna is very merciful, Bhava Bhakti, that level of devotion, it is very attractive to Krishna and he does award his blessings. So that's the point Srila Prabhupada is making. Then you see on page 145, Prema Bhakti is described as has two different features. Spontaneous attraction to Krishna, which is said to be due to the extraordinary mercy of the Lord, can be placed under two headings. So he's talking about Prema Bhakti. One is profound veneration for the greatness of the Lord, and the other is one being automatically attracted to Krishna without any extraneous consideration. What is being stated there is that there is prema mixed with knowledge of the Lord's majesty, and prema which is unmixed, which is called pure or kevala, kevala bhakti. Usually when we speak of kevala bhakti, we mean prema bhakti, which is unmixed with knowledge of the Lord's majesty, that is kevala bhakti. The other one is called mahatmya, mahatmyana prema, mahatmyana bhakti.
Krishna
can only give Prema
Bhakti.
So that includes Krishna's
expansion
also, or only Krishna? Therefore, we see, I don't know of any examples in this family where one of the expansions of Krishna is actually given.
Prema here means Raja Prema, or?
Yes.
Okay. Because in the passing of Raj Maharaj and Narasimha Rao, it said when Narasimha Rao touched him, he got the Prema.
Yes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of course is Krishna himself. From a previous chapter, he read, in the 7th canto, chapter 4, text number 36, so this is in chapter 17, we understood that the eligibility for Bhava Bhakti was one, either the rigid execution of spiritual practices through Vaidhi Sadhana or Raghunuga Sadhana, right? 2, the constant association of pure devotees, 3, the mercy of Krishna, and 4, by the special mercy of Krishna's devotees. And Kalan Maharaj developed that eligibility for Bhagavad Bhakti by the special mercy of Narada Muni. And therefore, my understanding would be that Lord Nrisimha is reciprocating with the Narada Muni's wishes. Narada Muni offered to, as you know, he offered blessings for Narada Maharaj even in the womb before he even so in that case, receiving Lord Shrimpadev's offering that benediction was a benediction offered by Narada Muni, which then manifests Lord Shrimpadev's mercy. You see also with the example of Lord Ramchandra that he gave the benediction, he's Krishna himself, of course, that all these mentions are of Krishna, Krishna himself. Lord Ramchandra gave the benediction that the stages of Dhammakaranya would take birth in the association of Krishna, and thereby that prema bhakti was able to develop. There is certainly prema bhakti with some understanding of Krishna's opulences or majesty. That may be available through various incarnations of the Lord. And as a result of that, of course, devotees may take birth within Vaikuntha, but certainly one has to, that association with Krishna or Krishna's devotees, his prema bhaktis of Vrindavan, that must be there for the Vraja Bhakti to develop. If we look at if we look at the history, so for instance, we are in the 28th millennium of the 7th millennium, the 14th millennium is being some incarnations. But Rupa Goswami offered that prayer that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has actually given what no one else has ever given before. In fact, in one sense, even Krishna didn't give what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. Although Krishna gives prema bhakti, he places conditions that if you surrender this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also giving prema bhakti but without conditions. But you'll see in the history of the sampradayas that preceded us, and all the various incarnations that have appeared apart from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami is saying that no one else ever gave what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, and to some extent not even Krishna. There is an exclusive gift given by Krishna in his appearance, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes that even more accessible. possible, as we read in earlier chapters of the next devotion, it's actually possible to that someone achieves one of the liberations, goes back to Vaikuntha Loka, one of the four liberations, and actually be elevated from there to Loka Vrindavan. So that is possible. It's rare that generally the body goes back to the spiritual world and they remain happily, literally, in that situation. But according to the will of Krishna or the will of Krishna's devotees, sometimes one can actually go to Krishna from there. So this describing the two kinds of prema bhakti is association with the knowledge of the greatness and majesty of God, which is usually developed through vairi sadhana bhakti. And it usually leads to the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation. So we see here that Narada Pancharatra, it is found, if on account of profound veneration for the greatness of the Supreme Lord, one attains a great affection and steady love for Him, one is certainly assured of attaining the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation. So that's in the mental devotion they take on the side. Generally, devotees who achieve bhava through vaidhi sadhana, they attain that mahatma jnana prema, or that pure love of God, which is imbued with knowledge of the Lord's grace. And they will generally achieve one of those four different types of liberation. Kevala prema is pure one-pointed prema without even the slightest mix of any other aspiration, such as aspiration for Vaikuntha liberation. The example here, again from the Narada Pancharatra, if a devotee is continuously in love with Lord Krishna and his mind always fixed upon him, that devotional attitude will prove to be the only means of attracting the attention of the Lord. In other words, the Vaishnava who is incessantly thinking in the form of Lord Krishna is to be known as a pure Vaishnava in the sense of Kevala Bhakta. Generally, devotees who achieve bhava through Raghunuga Sadhana, they attain that Kevala Prema. On that point, you have to understand that generally when we approach the Supreme Lord in one of his various manifestations, other than that single mind, fixed meditation on Krishna, generally we can acquire that prema mixed with knowledge of the Lord's majesty. And we can learn to practice through their instructions, through the examples of their followers, bhava and prema that come through vaidhi sadhana bhakti. That's generally the path. to attain Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, one generally has to fix the mind on Krishna specifically and follow his devotees and Raghunuga mode of devotional service. So that is the general process. But, you know, it's not that the word generally is used in both cases. So there are certainly exceptions where, you know, we see that Lord Ramchandra in that sense blessed the sages to take birth, you know, as gopis, but it was really then in the association of Krishna that they developed that particular type of prema, which, you know, would not have been developed in the association of Lord Ram. Developed in the association of Krishna's devotees and you know, Krishna himself in that particular. So certainly Lord Ramchandra was instrumental, but ultimately, you know, everything became fully manifest through Krishna and Krishna's devotees. So it's not that they're not instrumental and that they play no part. Generally, if we follow the various incarnations though, we will you know, accept develop, you know, prema mixed with the Lord's knowledge. That is the general case, and we will attain, you know, a particular destination accordingly. But if a devotee is particularly intent upon achieving Krishna Loka, and as Prabhupada described, even if somehow or another they get liberation in Vaikuntha, but they're still intent somehow on going to the Loka Vrindavan, that is possible. So, you know, there can be instrumental occurrences, but there's a general path here. Yeah.
So, in other types of, in achieving other four kinds of liberation, the Raghunuga path is not required, is it? Because Raghunuga is basically following the Rakas in the Pasar who are the residents of Vrindavan.
Yeah, generally, the Raghunuga platform of devotional service specifically refers to, you know, it is followed by the devotees of Krishna in, you know, Vrindavan. That's not to say that there is not some degree, you know, in other devotees, you know, one thing you'll find is there's never really an all or nothing situation. At the end of this chapter, of course, we see that Prabhupada says that Srila Rupa Goswami thus concluded the first division of the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, offering up his treatise for the transcendental pleasure of Sanatana Goswami, who has established the transcendental beauty, and of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. The affection and the dealings of love that are different branches of the original tree of love proceed many varieties of affectionate manifestations that will not be discussed here. So many varieties. These different manifestations have been described by Sanatana Goswami in his Bhagavatamrita. Although the subject of such affections and dealings of love is very confidential, Sanatana Goswami has described them very explicitly. So, you know, Krishna's spiritual realm is graded, as is the material world. So that, you know, according to the degree of awe and reverence, according to one's awareness and attraction to the Lord's opulence and greatness and majesty, there are specific transcendental abodes. As the intimacy increases, and the awe and reverence or the attraction to the Lord's majesty decreases, then there are higher and higher transcendental abodes. So there's actually, you know, a gradual decrease of attraction to awe and reverence, and a gradual increase of spontaneous love, which is motivated by attraction to the sweetness of the Lord rather than his offering. So it's in degrees. So it's not that in Goloka Vrindavan there is spontaneous devotion to service and there's nothing else anywhere. It's just degrees. So in some parts there's practically no degree of spontaneous love motivated by the Lord's sweetness, because that mood of awe and reverence and understanding of the Lord's majesty as the Supreme Person of Godhead is completely overwhelmed with that spontaneity. And in other places it increases a little bit, So generally, those who follow the Raghunuga Bhakti, and if they're exclusive Raghunuga Bhaktas, then that's what you need to get to Goloka Vrindavan. And for those who have some, Raga, spontaneous attraction, then there are graded realms within the Lord's kingdom. And that is all described very explicitly in Sanat Goswami's Brihadbhagavatamrita. It's not some mistake, I believe. But we'll just say, keep it as general principles for now. But we should understand, of course, that in Vrajana there is no trace of this attraction to the majesty of the Lord. There's no trace of that. Is exclusive rather than the Kabbalah. Any other questions? Yes? So of course, for those who have some degree of attraction or a lack of ability to practice Raghunuga Bhakti, and they're attracted by various expansions of the Lord without so much attraction to Krishna, generally we can understand that they would attain different grades within Vaikuntha. If they're attracted to Krishna, but still there is some raga, but also still some attraction to the majesty of the Lord, then they may attain water. But still, their goal is Krishna. If there is more increase in the raga and a reduction proportionately of the aishvara, the majesty, attraction of the majesty, then there is mathura. And then the attraction is still Krishna, not the other incarnations. And of course, when there is just that raga only, without a trace of the attraction of the Lord's majesty, and that Radha, you know, is there for Krishna, then there's one tiny love of Vrindavan. But actually, you know, that full manifestation of Radha can only be manifest due to Krishna's, due to reciprocating with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. His very form, the beauty of his form, his pastimes, his abode, are all extremely conducive to that manifestation, full manifestation of Radha, and completely forgetting, just absorbed in so much sweetness, unlimited sweetness, that there's no chance to remember that he is God. In other, you know, various incarnations, that sweetness is not powerful enough to evoke that level of spontaneous Radha. So, finally, the any other questions on that point?
Can you give us the some sort of the technical terms and then use the different stages of development?
Yep. So, Sri Rupa Goswami would explain that Prema Bhakti arises out of Baba Bhakti or by the exceptional mercy of the Lord. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami, at the end of this chapter, he also wants to make the point that it's not just like this single stroke, all of a sudden, you know, Prema Bhakti is there. He describes it through different stages. So we have to understand that when a devotee develops even the first stage of Shraddha, that is the extraordinary mercy of the Lord bestowing upon him prema bhakti by giving him the opportunity to begin the process of its development. From the very, in other words, when a devotee is blessed with shraddha, it means that the seed of pure love begins to fructify within the heart the Lord has bestowed upon them prema bhakti. It really is a matter of time. So we should not think that the Lord will one day bestow upon me prema bhakti. I'll just wait for him. The Lord has already bestowed upon all of us prema bhakti, because that seed is there and it will grow as long as the watering process goes on. To make that point, he quotes this very famous verse. Ado shraddha tatha taru sangha tapadini kriya tato nata nidviti syat tato nistas ruchis tata asya. Now, that is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 23, text number 14-15. There you will see a complete translation of all the words there, but we can go through it just quickly. In the beginning there must be faith, Shraddha. Then one becomes interested in association with pure devotees, Sadhu Sangha. Thereby one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders, Bhajani Kriya. The next part of the translation, of course, is thereafter one develops taste and attachment. A little bit of a jump there, because from association with from performing devotional service in association with the devotees under the guidance of the spiritual master. There's anatta nivritti, which is diminishing of all unwanted habits. Nishtha, which is firm faith. Then we get ruchi, or taste. Ashakti, attachment. Then, this is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to the regular principles. Gradually, emotions intensify, bhava. And finally, there is an awakening of love, prema. This is the gradual development of love of God for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, that's the translation given there. Keep in mind that in that translation, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, the stages of anatta, nivritti, and nishtha are not clearly defined in that translation, so have a look in the word for word. Srila Prabhupada's, when he summarizes that verse, it's summarized under the heading of association with pure devotees. So as he goes through all those different stages, you'll see that he describes them manifesting as a result of associating, the role that associating with devotees play in each step. So it's very nicely he puts up that whole those verses there under the heading of association with pure devotees, because association with pure devotees is extremely instrumental at every step. Finally, Prabhupada says that only the most fortunate persons can achieve such success in life. Those who are simply academic students of the Vedic scriptures cannot appreciate how such a development takes place. And he gives a quote from the Narada Pancharatra. What we're saying there is Srila Rupa Goswami is describing that. That quote there is that, my dear Supreme Goddess, you may know from me that any person who has developed the ecstasy of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who is always immersed in transcendental bliss on account of this love cannot even perceive material distress or happiness coming from the body or mind. The point of that verse is usually we judge a person's success by their material happiness or distress. So you can't apply that standard to prema bhakti, because they cannot even perceive, you know, external happiness and distress. So it's fruitless to try and measure, you know, the achievement of the success of the prema bhakti according to standards of material happiness or distress. That's the point of that verse, which shows how fortunate and how rare it is. Well, any further questions? Pretty well versed in coming back.
If the seed is planted there by Krishna, how is it so rare because complete the process?
The seed is planted by Krishna and Guru. So when Krishna sees that because one has a desire to end the eternal material existence, he sends the bona fide spiritual master, and it is the spiritual master who, on behalf of Krishna, is empowered to plant that seed of kind of send the back to the heart of the spine of the body. That seed is in the form of, you know, the tiny spark of faith in Krishna, and therefore a desire to approach Krishna, you know, because there is some faith. Without faith, one will never manifest the desire to approach Krishna. We see that, you know, the vast majority of people in this world, you know, Krishna is a legend, a myth, nothing, a fantasy, or, you know, he existed, but he was, you know, like a womanizer, or he was very powerful, or he's, you know, one of the gods of a demigod, or, you know, manifestation of those different things. But generally, people have not even, you know, the seed of faith that he is Supreme Krishna of God. That seed of faith is planted by the spiritual master on behalf of Krishna, and that faith, you know, matures into this desire to approach Krishna, to serve Krishna, to know Krishna, like that.
So when you say that, you know, Krishna sends the spiritual master, you mean that, because I thought that's what?
Yeah, the spiritual master, in whichever way he becomes manifest, so the spiritual master is manifest in two ways, by his instructions and by his form. And it is very rare. Prema Bhakti, you know, one of the characteristics we heard in the very beginning of Nectar Devotion, that there are six qualities of pure devotional service: two belonging to Sadhana Bhakti, two belonging to Bhava Bhakti, two belonging to Prema Bhakti. One of those belonging to Prema Bhakti is, you know, how rare it is. And that is because, you know, by this Prema Bhakti, Krishna actually does become the possession of that devotee. Prema Bhakti, you know, Krishna is so attracted to this pure, intense love that, you know, he willingly gives himself, he surrenders, you know, fully to that devotee. He gives himself, he becomes the possession of that devotee. So therefore it's very rare, because he knows that, you know, he's not going to give that gift to any rascal, you know. It's, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives himself, you know, I am yours. It's very rare because of that. Prema Bhakti. You won't award Prema Bhakti because by that you actually possess the Lord, because he gives himself to you. Therefore, Krishna is the property of the Prema Bhaktis. So he won't give himself to anyone unless the Prema Bhaktis desire, because he's their property. Is the Prema Bhakti, that's why you see, you know, with in the last verse there, Srila Prabhupada puts it all down to association with the devotees. You know, if you hear those different songs by Haritan Dattakur, Krishna is yours, and I am simply running behind you. Krishna, Krishna. And it is also a fact, as you say, that many people don't complete the course of devotional service, and that is another reason why it becomes unattainable. Srila Gaurakishore Das Bhaji explained that at one time he was asked why, if the association with the devotees and the bhaktis is so powerful, why do we see that sometimes people take the association of extremely advanced devotees and yet somehow do not get success in devotional service? And his answer was that because they leave the association both too early before the results have had time to mature. So it is a seed, and that's the point of Rupa Goswami. Krishna gives Prema Bhakti in the form of a seed, and that seed matures. Now, if we stop watering that seed or seedling, a little plant, at any stage, we can't get the fruits. So that's the idea of that verse. So therefore, and the watering process is to hear and chant and serve in the association of those Prema Bhaktis. If they leave the association of devotees too early, yes, they will not get the result. And that's another reason why it remains. Yeah. All right. Next Thursday. Don't miss that one. We'll do a review. Andrew has set the basics of an exam, although it does have some questions relating to nectar instruction in the Upanishad, so I have to take some of them out and put some other questions in. So during the week I'll finalise that exam. next week we can, what's that, Thursday the 14th, that is a revision, and then on Sunday the 17th we'll have the exam. Jagannath, he will receive the exam, that's long for everyone. Yes, I'll go over the, I'll help with pinpoint. It is the 19th chapter that we've read, that's what we're doing, we're not doing any other books. You can certainly include, if you like, if the question wants it, something to substantiate the baby year, something like that. But generally we're looking at nature of motion specifically. And we'll get a really good idea next to the baby about what to expect. Even if people have, missed some parts of the Bhakti Shastri album, please come along. They at least make it to next Thursday. They've got a fair shot of doing it. So we'll see you all then.
Is this the last question? Last examination?
In the next devotion. Yeah, what is it about you? Do this again, and really, then there'll be one more exam, which will be on the 27th of the 9th, September. That's when we finish up this year's Bhakti Shastri, and that will be on Upanishad and nectar instruction. At the moment, I'm going to do a little bit.